The newspaper woman kept up her nosy questions. She reminded Jasper of Crispin Kent. Beatrix pretended she was bored and didn't reply. Jasper pretended he didn't understand.
"You're new in town?" the woman asked. "Are you lost? I'll fetch a policeman. Oh, there are lots of Lady Gaul's troops around today. Shall I ask them?"
"Not lost."
Jasper grabbed a Fontanian Daily Watch. On the front page was a picture of Uncle Trump.
"Newspaper, buying for parents?"
"What a good story." The woman rang a bell and scribbled a note.
"I want an article about the travelling restaurant," she said. "Do you know it? It's always so exciting when... Oh, here's the artist, and this is our new reporter."
"Yes, it is. I'll leave them to it." She gathered up her bag and hurried off. In came a young woman with a sketch pad. She sat down at a desk, threw open her pad, and began drawing Beatrix and Sibylla. A man came in behind her, sandy-haired, in a thin black cloak. It took a moment for Jasper to realize it was Crispin Kent. Kent's eyes twinkled at Jasper with surprise. He glanced at Sibylla for a moment, then gave her a tiny salute. Beatrix hadn't seen Kent before, but she frowned at Jasper and drummed her fingers on the desktop. "Let's get away." Kent pulled a chair up to the desk. The artist tore the sketch from her pad, slid it across to Crispin Kent, and stumped out of the office. Kent closed the door.
"Hello, Jasper. What a good story you'll tell. Will it be as good as the one about when we were heading to Battle Island, but you dumped me instead on the miserable little Isle of Bones?"
Beatrix glanced from him to Jasper. "It's the journalist who writes lies," hissed Jasper.
"Damn," said Beatrix.
Sibylla dragged the sketch towards her upside down. She put grubby fingerprints on the margins. Crispin Kent grinned more widely.
"Are you on your way to someone's wedding, Jasper?"
In a cold, hard voice, Jasper answered,
"Please thank the lady for the milk."
He stood up and beckoned Beatrix.
"I never expected Trump to marry Lady Gaul," said Crispin Kent. "He's mad keen on that aunt of yours, Polly."
"We know that," Beatrix said.
Kent cocked his head.
"I've seen you with Lady Gaul."
"We're going," Jasper repeated.
"The papers say Trump and Lady Gaul will have a happy marriage," said Crispin Kent.
"But you know better than to believe everything in the paper, right, Jasper?" Sibylla was still studying the sketch of herself with Beatrix and Jasper. Gently, Jasper pushed it out of her reach in case she touched it properly and Kent realized she had magic. She pulled the newspaper towards herself instead. Her fingers butterflied onto the picture of Uncle Trump. Jasper put his hand on hers to stop her, and the image of Trump trembled. His white ruffled collar grew crumpled and grubby. His hand came into view and tugged the ruff as if it strangled him. He rubbed the hand over his forehead, raised his head, and gazed straight at Jasper. Jasper felt Beatrix and Kent leaning close behind him. Trump gasped.
"Oh, Jasper, is that you? Where are you? Do you have the dagger? Are you... Oh, yes, you've got Sibylla."
Crispin Kent leaned over Jasper's shoulder.
"Trump? Good heavens! If this is what I think it is, it changes everything."
"Yes," said Trump. "Magic. Better late than never. Kent, you're a sidewinding scoundrel. But you've got a good heart."
"I haven't," said Crispin Kent.
"Kent, keep the children safe," urged Trump. "Lock 'em up if you have to till it's over. And tell Polly to stay away. Make Rocket understand that Lady Gaul will kill them all. They must stay away from the Eastern Isle."
"What's in it for me?"
It's the best story of your life, answered Trump.
This will be the end of you, Trump, said Crispin Kent. The very end. Trump grimaced again.
Kent, promise me...
The vision broke up. On the table was just a picture of the blissful bridegroom and the heading about the wedding in 2 days' time. We're on our way, Jasper said to Crispin Kent. You'll get lost without a guide, said Kent. I'm coming too. I promise Trump. He asked you to, but you didn't get round to it, Jasper said. Kent grabbed a sheet of paper and scribbled a note. News of big story. Don't look for me. Wait for scoop. Right, he said. We're off. Despite a bitter wind, Jasper was hot and sweaty by the time they arrived at the wharf gates. Jasper started to sigh with relief. But there, along the dock, at the gangplank of the restaurant, was a search party of Lady Gaul's guards, swords drawn and rifles cocked. Kent pulled Jasper and the others into a hidey-hole behind a stack of crates. Jasper, I never thanked you for saving my life. This seems the time to do it. Well, there's how to say thank you. Jasper jerked his head towards the ship he'd spotted and picked up Sibylla. Allow me, said Crispin Kent. He spread his cloak wide. Jasper and Beatrix sheltered beneath its billows, and they all strode out. They marched straight for a big black ship. There were no cries or rifle shots from the search party. The particular ship he'd noted was called the Double Star. He was 99% sure she used to be the Double Cross. High near her stern was a tiny skull and crossbones the pirates had forgotten to paint out. Jasper stepped up over the gap onto the gangplank and hurried aboard. The others followed. Well, it'll be wonderful to see Captain Darkblood again, he cried. It was a large, comfortable and clean captain's cabin. The ex-pirate chief was just as tall and broad about the shoulder, just as black-bearded as before. But his face was brighter, his skin glowed with health. His smile showed very clean teeth. I apologize for dropping in at short notice, Jasper said. My friend here is a journalist. We thought you'd make a fascinating story. Ooh, indeed. The captain nodded to Crispin Kent. He offered a plate of savoury nibbles to Beatrix and Sibylla and sat down. Oh, I owe this boy a lot, Darkblood told Kent. A well-fed ship is a happy ship. A ship that carries a good accountant is a good business venture. Then a rocking motion brought Jasper to his feet. He raced to a porthole. Bad news. The Double Star was under sail. Well, at least they'd escaped the search party. It might have continued to be all right if the hounds of Lady Gaul had been properly fed. But the next afternoon, Murgot began to prepare a veal casserole, and the breeze wafted the scent across the waves to the deck of the excellent hound into the nostrils of the hungry animals, and probably the nostrils of Lady Gaul's men. So much for Jasper's brilliant idea of teaching the pirates to cook. An ex-pirate poked his head into the captain's cabin.
The excellent hound's bearing down on us. Shall we run up the skull and crossbones?
Oh, right. We used it for tea towels.
We'll be fine, said Captain Darkblood. We have extra muffins.
I like shearing, said the ex-pirate.
But, said Jasper, we don't actually want to be captured.
Oh, I did warn you we weren't keen on fighting, no, said the ex-fierce ex-pirate chief.
Oh, hello, lassie. You've something to say. Lady Gaul will have you hung, yelled Beatrix. She does that to pirates. She does it to anyone if she can think up an excuse.
Well, look on the bright side. You want to go ashore? The hound will take you to the Eastern Isle.
You might even get a chance to see the wedding. "Ahoy!" cried a sailor through a megaphone on the Excellent Hound. "Dinner smells good. May we come aboard?" "Goodness me, you used to be the Double Cross. Dark Blood's under arrest."
Dark Blood ran out on deck.
"But no, I've reformed." "You have to tell the Admiral," shouted an officer on the Hound. "Come over. He'll give you a certificate."
"Judge the Admiral? Not Lady Gaul? We thought we heard a dog or two, but if she's on a faster vessel speeding to the wedding, then we'd be very happy to come across."
Beatrix, Jasper, Sybilla, and Crispin Kent had to go with everyone else on to the Excellent Hound. After a few notes on the bugle and some saluting, they were shown into the presence of the Admiral. He was up on the quarter-deck, the clean bit, away from ordinary sailors. Jasper couldn't see or hear any dogs, which was a relief. The Admiral saluted and smiled. Now that he was not with Lady Gaul, he seemed much nicer. Captain Darkblood unbuckled his sword and placed it on a special table set out ready. That was polite. Jasper figured he'd better take the dagger from his scabbard too. He slid it next to Darkblood's sword. If he stood near the table, perhaps nobody would see the dagger clearly. Beatrix huddled so close he felt her trembling. Sybilla looked up, worried. Behind him, the door to the stateroom opened. A woman stood there, a sleeping mask dangling from a sharp purple fingernail. Jasper shuddered even before he recognized her properly. A snarling hound stood either side of her. One of them, sniffing and dribbling, paced towards Jasper. He put Sybilla behind him, but Lady Gaul had caught sight of Beatrix. With a shriek of rage, she slashed out with her sharp nails. Beatrix ducked. Lady Gaul swung to the table, snatched Darkblood's sword in both hands, raised it to slice at Beatrix, and stopped with the sword held high. She turned back. She had seen the royal dagger. Lady Gaul let Darkblood's sword clatter to the deck. Slowly she flexed her hands and reached out and took the dagger in utter silence. Lady Gaul didn't smile, but when she turned back to Jasper and Sybilla, she looked as smug as a slug in lettuce. The provisional monarch made a swift, hard gesture, and the soldiers whisked Jasper and his sister into a corridor leading to the nearest cabin, shoved them in, and locked the door from the outside. There was a narrow bunk, a chair, and a small telescope. Jasper climbed on the bunk and peered through the porthole again. Beyond the quarterdeck, on the grey waves of a dirty ocean, was exactly what he didn't want to see. The travelling restaurant